Thank you all for being here tonight to hear a portion of this study, and everyone who's here tonight, you're free to be here, and you chose to be here tonight, and I'm very happy that you chose to do that, and I'm happy that we all have the freedom to choose to do that. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about freedom, and with Friday being July 4th, where we as Americans got to celebrate that freedom from a lot of different things, but July 4th, it marked, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the birth of America, and a lot of these freedoms that we get to enjoy. So, like I said, I'm happy we have that freedom, and I'm happy you've chosen to use that freedom to be here. And I'm happy that I have the freedom to stand up here and give a lesson, and we're able to come together like this, because it's not that way in all parts of the world. You know, not everyone gets to experience the religious freedom that we get to experience. And you know, America was kind of founded on that. So the very first thing written in the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights is, you know, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It's literally one of the first things written. You know, it's one of the religious freedoms specifically is one of the things that America was founded on. So, you know, being an American and having this freedom, you know, it just feels right. It just feels like it couldn't hardly get any better than this. And, you know, people from all over the world, they want to be here. They want to be in America, and they want to experience the freedoms that we get to have, and they want to have the liberties that we have. And so, you know, when you think about that and you think about America compared to the rest of the world, you think, well, you know, this has got to be something from God. This has got to be something spiritual. You know, this has got to be some divine intervention as to America being American and having been founded and you know, all those sort of things, that this must be from God, that America is so great and so awesome and so spectacular that something this grand could only have come from God. So it must be in Scripture. That's incorrect. That is completely wrong. There is nothing about America mentioned in Scripture or you know, any indication that it's sent from God. And that's just a fact. Now, it's kind of hard to separate the two. It has been for me anyway, but I want to make it clear that this America and this American freedom that we get to enjoy, it's a convenience, it's a privilege, and it's not a biblical guarantee. It's not something that has been sent to us from God. Again, America is not the result of any specific divine intervention. Now, I won't say that America just happened all on its own. You know, there is a lot of sacrifice and a lot of things that went into creating what we have. But it's not from Scripture. It's not something holy, if you will. At least we don't find any evidence of that in Scripture. So, but America is great, and these liberties and freedoms we have, we need to use them. We need to utilize these things specifically for our spiritual walk and our spirituality and to further the kingdom and to spread the gospel as we've been commanded. So if you thought this was going to be a lesson on July 4th, well, it's not. It is going to be about freedom, but it's not going to take that route. But we as Christians, we're not necessarily guaranteed this kind of freedom. Now, we're probably pretty used to it. I know I am, having lived here and been an American my whole life. I enjoy it. I've gotten very used to it. But not only are Christians not guaranteed freedom, you know, God's children, the Jews, the Old Testament, they weren't necessarily guaranteed freedom either. Our first reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 17 through 21, this is the prelude to this. This is referring to the nation of Judah, to, you know, a group of God's people, if you will, and their decline. At the time, before this, they were in captivity, before this imprisonment, before this non-freedom that Judah experienced, no one in this group, no one in this tribe, no one listened. They were all doing bad. They just weren't acting right. They weren't doing what God wanted them to do. And the verses prior to this, feel free to you know, read those if you have time, but it lists out kind of a lot of the kings that were in charge and in power of this tribe. And almost after every one of them, Scripture says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. It was just king after king and leader after leader that just kept doing wrong and kept going against what God wanted them to do. So God allowed them to be destroyed, allowed them to be taken into captivity, and essentially took that freedom away from them. And they had that freedom and that liberty, and they chose poorly. So 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 17 through 21. Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. And all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So due to Judah's attitude and their actions, these are consequences for their actions. First, they were, you know, a lot of them were killed, a lot of them destroyed. Their possessions were taken, and the ones that survived, the ones that made it out, they were imprisoned. They experienced some non-freedom. They experienced some captivity. And again, it was a punishment for their own actions, consequences of their own actions. And this is just one story of quite a few that we can find in the Old Testament. But, you know, we think of the children of Israel in Egypt and that time and Moab and things of that nature, that this freedom, not only for Christians, but for Jews as well, it's not guaranteed, and it's not prescribed that we're going to have it all the time. But thinking in that same realm, on the other hand, when we read these stories of captivity and we read these stories of imprisonment, it didn't necessarily last forever. So Jeremiah, here in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. So here in Jeremiah, the people in captivity, the imprisoned people, are being told that, again, this is a consequence of their actions, but to still hold true to their faith, to continue on in life, to not quit, you know, to produce, to grow, to increase, and this imprisonment will eventually end. It'll eventually be over. And this non-freedom, it only lasted for a certain amount of time. And a similar text in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 and 41. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So again, similar story. That was the children of Israel, their non-freedom, it lasted for a long time. But it did come to an end. They were eventually set free. So we see some examples here in the Old Testament that freedom in one hand and imprisonment in the other, or oppression in the other, they don't seem to last forever. You know, we see examples of both. So neither seem to be a constant or prescribed, but both are still possible. So we can see the example that again, we're not guaranteed freedom, but we're not guaranteed to necessarily be imprisoned either. So now back to America. I just love talking about America. July 4, 1776, of course, was when the Declaration of Independence was signed. So essentially that was day one of America. Well, that was 249 years ago. Well, I'm a numbers guy, and I really like to look at numbers. I also like history a lot. So I just did a quick look about some, you know, ancient civilizations, some ancient empires, if you will, and how long they lasted. You know, their start and finish dates. And, you know, Rome, these dates, you know, I don't know they're exactly right, but Rome lasted 900 some odd years. And some of these, you know, these dynasties in China, 200 years, 600 years, so on and so forth. Some of those dynasties, those kingdoms, you know, those lasted a long time. Well, America, we're at 249 years old. We're not even half of the average of how long some of these civilizations lasted. Now, again, there's plenty of others. Some may have gone longer, some may have gone shorter. But in the grand scheme of things and in the large picture of things, America is pretty young. America is still kind of on the front end of being a long-lasting civilization, especially when we compare it to others there in history. So there is no guarantee that this America we have and this freedom that we get to enjoy, that it continues on. I hope it does. I hope it lasts a long time. I hope it lasts, I don't know, forever. But there's no guarantee of that. There's nothing set in stone saying that that's going to happen. You know, I've had the mindset for a long time, you know, oh, well, we're in America, you know, we'll never lose. It's not going to happen because we're America. And that's a very worldly mindset. Again, I hope it stays that way, but there's no biblical guarantee of that. So let's say this. Let's say it does come to an end. Let's say America ceases to be a country. Let's say all the conspiracy theories, you know, happen all at once. And the America as we know it, you know, it's over. And we don't have this freedom anymore. We don't have this way of life or this system anymore. Let's say that does happen. How is your faith in God going to be affected by that? If we're all of a sudden imprisoned by some outside source and these freedoms are taken away and we're held captive, similar to a lot of those Old Testament stories, what happens to your faith? How are you going to feel? And about your spiritual walk, how's that going to affect it? Well, our Christian freedom, while it's not guaranteed, it shouldn't be affected by the status of America and the status of if we are a free country or not, or if we're oppressed, or whatever the case may be. Your faith shouldn't be affected by that. Again, because this is what we have is a privilege, but it's not prescribed to us in Scripture. So again, being Christians, us and this freedom that we have, it's not guaranteed in Scripture. But what is guaranteed to us as Christians in Scripture is persecution for being a Christian. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And a similar text in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So, you know, we've lots of stories again that we find in Scripture of Christians being persecuted. And Sean Zeebock gave a very good and kind of graphic lesson in our meeting a while back about persecuted Christians and about a lot of these stories and about a lot of the mean, nasty, terrible things that happen to these people for spreading the gospel and for being Christian. And so on the forefront of my mind, I think, oh, you know, we read these stories in Scripture and all these historical things that happened, you know, a very long time ago. And a lot of these stories happened while the Roman government was in power, and the, you know, at the hand of the Romans is when a lot of this happened. Well, my little chart just a few slides ago, that empire ended sometime in 500, you know, AD. So again, I think, well, that's a long time ago. You know, that's way removed from where we're at. You know, we live in America. We don't have that kind of persecution. We're not, you know, here Christians aren't getting fed to lions or being burned at the stake or whatever. So, you know, that's not really relevant. Well, that's, again, that's not the case. It's happening all over the world, very prevalent. I came across this news article just the other day that these Americans are arrested and put in jail for trying to send Bibles to North Korea. They're putting them in these plastic bottles and trying to float them, you know, across whatever body of water it was to try to spread the gospel and try to get this message to these people, and they were thrown in jail for it. So this persecution, while we may not experience here, it is very real, and it's very much happening all over the world. And North Korea specifically, they're pretty rough on Christians over there. It's pretty harsh over there. And you can be, you know, for what we're doing tonight, we're gathered here tonight, we would all be in big trouble if we were doing this, you know, in that other part of the world. This little chart comes from opendoors.org, and it essentially ranked a lot of countries of most dangerous for Christians and the highest probability of being persecuted as a Christian in these countries. So North Korea being at the very top, you know, as kind of like we just read, but it's rough out there. It's outside of our little bubble of America, of Christians living in America. It's rough in other parts of the world. There's literally millions of Christians who are persecuted every day for their beliefs. And they're, you know, I would assume and I would imagine that a lot of them are very fearful of their lives for having the same beliefs that we do and believing in the same things that we do, that we get to practice openly and we get to, you know, we get to stroll in the front doors and not really think twice about it. So I say all that to say this. Now, we are truly blessed to live here in America. We are truly blessed to have these religious freedoms that we do. And we are truly blessed that we're free to worship God all that we want and to carry a Bible with us and to meet here together, especially compared to other parts of the world. So, and again, we are truly blessed regardless of what political party is in charge or regardless of what laws are in place. And regardless of what we perceive to be bad in this country, we are truly blessed with the most freedom probably the world's ever seen. And so, you know, if you think it's rough here and you think it's real bad, well, shame on you. It's not. It's not nearly as bad as it is in other parts of the world. And while a lot of freedoms have been abused, we have the religious freedom to worship and further the kingdom all that we want. And sometimes I think we may be complacent in that. We may not use these freedoms to our full ability. So I want you to think, what do you use your freedom for? You know, being in this country, being a free American, what have you used this your freedom for? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 through 24. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain the same in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Regardless of your status in life, your station in life, your position, your job, what school you go to, what city you live in, regardless of if you're a free American or you're living in communist North Korea, use whatever God has given you to worship him, to follow him, to spread the gospel, to further the kingdom. It shouldn't matter to us. It shouldn't matter to us spiritually, again, what our station is and what our feelings and thoughts are about the government at hand, or where we're living in the world. Our faith should not depend on again, the status that we're in. Instead, our faith should be bolstered by it. We should be appreciative of it. We should like the fact and love the fact that we have these freedoms and get to enjoy, again, all these things. So what has, on the other hand, of our freedom, you know, what are some other aspects of it, some other thoughts on it is, you know, there's a lot of great things that have happened. There's a lot of churches that have been built. A lot of souls have been saved. The gospel has been spread all over the world through, you know, the freedom we have and the resources that we have. But on the other hand, there's also some bad things that come with that freedom. You know, we read about Judah and the freedom that they had and how it led to a pretty bad decline for them. Quite a few other stories we can find in Scripture about that. Pride Month. Pride Month was in June. You know, technically, I guess that some of the freedom we have, stuff like that's going to happen. Well, it wasn't just in America. There was a Pride Fest festival here in Lubbock just a few days ago. Again, that freedom, there's some other things that come with it. The spread of Islam, I guess, you know, there's some freedoms that happen that some of that goes on as well. On the slide from opendoors.com, the reason for a lot of that Christian persecution was Islamic oppression. And again, there's some freedom that gets spread around. I don't know if anyone has heard about the epic city that was planned in a town close to Dallas, but it was going to be a Muslim-only community, and they're going to have Sharia law, and it was going to be, you know, it was going to be a big deal for them. Luckily, that was stopped for now. But sometimes our freedom can go in the opposite direction. And of course, there's countless other examples and other stories of things like that happening. But what we need to focus on, we don't need to focus on the bad. We don't need to focus on how far out of line we can allow freedom to take us. We need to focus on the good things and the great things that can be done and that can happen, you know, from having these liberties. I like to watch this clips of this street preacher individual online that he goes around to a lot of festivals or a lot of gatherings, and he has the freedom to spread the gospel. And he's never well received. He typically receives, you know, constantly met with a lot of fierce and very rude and very crude opposition, but he doesn't seem to be discouraged by it. He doesn't seem to lose his cool. He doesn't ever raise his voice or, you know, get real upset back at these people, but he's using his freedom, even in the face of opposition, to try and spread the gospel. And he doesn't ever seem to be very discouraged by it, and neither should we. We should utilize these freedoms that we have. Outside of a geographical freedom, now we're going to look at a little more personal freedom, the fact that we're free to choose. We're free to choose what we believe. We're free to choose who we follow, whether we follow ourselves or we follow God or we follow some other person claiming to be religious. We have that freedom to choose. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." In a similar text in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So again, we are free to choose. And the street preacher guy I referenced, he gets asked pretty regular about, well, you know, why did God let this bad thing happen? Or why did God let so-and-so happen? Why doesn't God just make us, or, you know, why doesn't Jesus make us love him? And, you know, if you think, he has a pretty good response, but if you take a step back and think about it, if one person is forcing another person into anything, you know, that person may do that thing, but it's forced. It's not a genuine response. It's not a genuine thought or feeling because it's forced. So if Jesus, you know, forced us to love him, or and we were just these predestined robots, you know, we might do all the exact right things and we might say all the exact right things, but it wouldn't be genuine, and it wouldn't be a genuine feeling, and it wouldn't be how we genuinely felt because we were forced to do so. So that's the reason, that's a quick reason why, answer to that question, because we're free to choose and we have our own free will. God gave us our own free will. And again, in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." So Jesus speaking here in Mark, let him deny himself. That's a choice that we have to make. We have our own freedom and our own free will to choose to deny ourselves, choose to follow Christ. Choosing the right path is not always easy. Matter of fact, it's difficult most of the time. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So I'm sure most of us have all heard this analogy before of the wide gate and the narrow gate, but choosing is difficult. This text in Matthew is talking about, that it's very difficult to choose correctly, especially when we're a place where we don't need to be, or hanging around with the wrong crowd, whatever it may be. Making the good godly choice, it can be very difficult. And that's, you know, again, that's nothing new. That's nothing that should be a real revelation to us. But we have the free will to choose, and we must choose correctly. And if we do choose correctly, we're able to have freedom from sin, and we're able to be set free spiritually. But again, we have to make the right choice. In Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23, "What then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that through you, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So again, we have that free choice, and if we choose right, we can have that freedom from sin. But for us to receive that gift and for us to receive that freedom, we must be baptized. So this evening, you are free to make that choice. And you are free to be baptized if you so choose. And that's the only way that we can receive that blessing and we can receive that freedom from sin, is because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, on our account. So again, it's free. You know, being baptized and obeying the gospel, it's free. It doesn't cost anything. There's no charge. There's no invoice. You know, the church doesn't have to have a credit card on file to do that for you. So whatever it may be, if you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, whatever reason that may be, I hope that you choose to move past that reason, whatever it is. So this evening, if you feel the need to be baptized, if you feel like you're ready to make that commitment, or if you have other needs of the church, please come forward and let your needs be known.